The following podcast is brought to you by the Communications and Media Studies Department at Dominican University of California. You are listening to Washed, and I am your host, DJ Green. If you've ever felt scammed by large corporations, you've come to the right place. Hi, everyone, and welcome to the first episode of Washed. I am your host, DJ Green, and this is a podcast where I am going to be discussing the reality of greenwash marketing. And what that entails is a lot of different categories, a lot of different information that I'm going to be giving the listeners weekly on what is happening beyond surface level of corporations who are marketing very sustainable claims on their products that really are not true at all. So, what it comes down to, the basic overall gist of greenwash marketing, the core of it is that large corporations will use imagery, deceptive language, false credentials to deceive their consumers into believing that they are purchasing a sustainable product when the company that they are buying from are not actually for the environment at all. As you can imagine, in today's society, it is super easy to buy a product and believe that you are buying something that is either made with really good ingredients. They use the term natural a lot in greenwash marketing. So you could be picking up a product that you think is made with 100% organic cotton. Maybe you think your child's diapers are made with cotton, when in reality, only 1% of that diaper actually has 100% pure organic cotton in it. And they are completely legally allowed to say that because there are no laws for it. So that's what we're going to get into more of today. Okay, so the term greenwash marketing came about when, back in the day, hotels first started using those cards that say, reuse your towels, help us save water, help us conserve water. Somebody noticed that and thought, that's weird. Why would they put that on the consumer, on the customer, rather than the hotel itself? Why don't they buy machine equipment or create a schedule to, you know, conserve water themselves? So the term greenwashing came about because by hotels saying that you using your towel less leads to more water conservation, it creates a false idea that the hotel is doing their part when in reality they're not. They're just making it look like it in a very, very smart way, honestly. Once those tactics started to pick up, more and more companies started to realize that the demand was starting to become a demand towards eco-friendly, eco-conscious, and sustainable materials, products, packaging, really anything you can think of. The demand and the consumers were starting to change their mindset. So, of course, large corporations say, we need to jump on this right away. What can we do? This is when companies, specifically large corporations, so we're going to be focusing on this podcast series on these large corporations because they are the ones who really, they cannot change their packaging quick enough. They cannot change their formula of their products quick enough to actually create a sustainable product and brand, because that would mean digging up their entire company and flipping it. So what they do is they find the loopholes and they use imagery, scenery, language, all of those tactics to deceive us, the consumers. And it works very, very well. So, like I said, the companies who are using this, think of big brand names, think of L'Oreal, Johnson & Johnson, Coca-Cola, all those companies that are everywhere and own the 90% of smaller companies, you're going to most likely see greenwashing in their products. The reason why these companies are doing it, again, it is because they cannot rebrand their whole entire company. They are already sitting on billions and billions of dollars of products that are already in the consumer's eye, bad for the environment. We've already determined we don't like their products. So what can the company do to save money? They can change their packaging very easily. It requires a minimal amount of damage loss, so that's what they do. And it's actually really easy to trick consumers using imagery and language, because our eye will immediately go to what we believe is correlated to environmentally sustainable options. So what I'm going to be talking about most is when companies are using specifically the color green. So they will use the color green by, if it's just a line of green, if the packaging, the whole entire product is green, and then they'll use green in imagery. So the imagery that they'll use mostly is going to be, or are going to be, leaves, trees, anything, forests, mountain ranges, anything you can really think of that has to do with nature, they might do it. They'll throw a river on there in an effort to look as if they are conserving water. It's very, very interesting. Going back to those hotel cards, you can always see that they're a sink faucet or a body of water, something on those cards usually. And that's really how they get us. So, more demand for these products from younger generations means that these companies are going to change the quickest thing that they can in order to provide for that demand. And that is really the easiest way for them to supply it, so they will continue to do that. So the best thing you can do when you are shopping any type of product that you know could be potentially better for the environment than what you were previously buying, search for products that are actually minimally packaged. They don't have a lot of design. They are very focused on what the product actually does, what it is, what it's made of. Those are the companies that most likely are going to be working for the environment and not using false claims, because they know how serious it is. And more often than not, smaller companies tend to care more about their consumer base because there is more value in their consumers, considering that larger corporations have the leeway to lose a large amount of consumers without it really drastically impacting their business. So that's why we're going to see a lot more large corporations doing this type of greenwashing, because legally they are more protected. Even though that doesn't really matter yet, it has a lot of potential to matter in the future very soon. And in all honesty, large corporations can get away with false accusations and false claims a lot easier than small businesses can. I always say shop small and you most likely will be doing the least amount of damage possible. So the last topic I want to talk about today before I kind of restate everything I've been talking about is the legality of greenwash marketing. So as I was just saying, large corporations are able to get away with this kind of stuff. However, the truth is, really anyone can get away with greenwash marketing right now, because the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, the FDA, they have no regulations right now on basically the terms, the images, the language, anything that large corporations are using right now to trick their consumers into believing a product is sustainable. None of those words, none of those images, nothing is regulated, which means we, the consumer, cannot sue a company for false claims. However, it is getting there. It's definitely in the works. Companies are starting to get sued for certain claims that they are making, specifically when it can damage, when there are risk factors, when there's harm involved, it is a lot more likely that a company is going to face some type of fine charge. However, there's nothing going on currently with the EPA, as I said, the Environmental Protection Agency, who oversees a lot of regulations. And you can say that they basically oversee, they are the FDA of the environment. However, they are not as strong yet. So to put it simply, they have no way to take down these large corporations and say, hey, you legally cannot use the word natural, because there is no scientific definition of natural. And until they make one, until they are able to put a definition on these sustainable terms that brands are using, we are going to face a lot of confusion as consumers. So education and research and knowing where to shop is extremely crucial going forward in today's day, especially with how quickly these corporations have the power to do insane amounts of damage on our environment. That being said, the words you really want to look out for the most are going to be natural, the word pure, even the words eco-friendly, sustainable is a one that is wishy-washy, very wishy-washy, organic even when it comes to the food. And that's the thing that I don't know if many people realize. It is an extremely serious issue, greenwash marketing, because it not only impacts our beauty consumption, it impacts our food, it impacts the news we watch, it impacts the cars we buy, it impacts colleges, it impacts everything in your day-to-day lives that you may not even realize. Every time you go to the internet, you are creating a part of your ecological footprint, as crazy as it sounds. If you have heard of NFTs, even those have insane amount of environmental footprints behind them. So moving forward, every day, it's really important to do the research and know where to shop, what you're shopping for, exactly what you need to buy. Because again, these corporations are always going to be fighting for mass consumption over consumption so they can make their money. Again, it is important to realize that if a company is using a lot of green images in their packaging, a lot of wordy language, if there are credentials that don't really seem to make any sense, the word certified, you're going to see that a lot on products that are not actually certified. The best way to spot it is that if a company is certified by a third party, they're always going to put that third party on there. So 1% for the planet, those kind of companies, those are always good to look for. So just to wrap up everything and restate, this podcast is going to be about greenwash marketing, and I, each episode, am going to be discussing further in detail about what greenwash marketing is, where you can find it, what each industry does about greenwash marketing, how it is displayed in each industry. So the food industry, the beauty and household industry, which I discussed mostly today because it is the most obvious one, and the clothing industry. So there is a lot of fun information that is going to be coming out, and I hope everyone listening today enjoyed and will keep listening, because greenwash marketing is a world of its own, and it is extremely interesting the way that these companies try to trick us, the consumers. And I look forward to having you back next week to talk more about greenwash marketing and get more into the logistics of what we can do to better our environment and ourselves and our further choices.